Support for the Marketplace Morning Report podcast provided by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
He's back.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Michael Dell, the guy who created Dell Computers, is going back to run the company. He gave up the CEO position back in 2004 to remain chairman of the board, but ever since, business hasn't been so good. So yesterday, Michael Dell's appointee, Kevin Rollins, resigned, and the founder resumed control of daily operations. Michael Dell created the company about 15 years ago from his college dorm room. The European oil giant Shell just announced record annual profits. The company made over $25 billion in 2006. It's the biggest profit ever by a company listed on the London Stock Exchange. But as Stephen Beard reports, analysts are suggesting a difficult year may lie ahead.
Shell benefited hugely from the sharp rise in the price of energy in 2006. That was the reason that profits for the year shot up by 21%. But analysts say the company has no chance of doing anything like as well in 2007. For one thing, the price of oil and natural gas has subsided since last summer. And for another, Shell will have more trouble finding and exploiting new reserves. Late last year, it was pressured into selling half its stake in a giant Russian natural gas project. Jim Washer of Petroleum Intelligence Weekly says Shell is facing an industry-wide problem.
It's very difficult these days to find meaningful amounts of oil and gas in areas that are fully open to foreign investment, where the cost of development is relatively low.
Shell is pinning a lot of its hopes of future growth on oil from the Canadian tar sands. But, says Washer, winning that oil will be both difficult and expensive. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Dow missed setting a new record by just a hair yesterday. It was that kind of day on Wall Street. The Dow soared 98 points to 12,621. The Nasdaq moved ahead 15 points to 2463. The S&P added 9 points. It's at 1438. And in Tokyo, the Nikkei climbed 106 points, or 0.6%. It was almost 14 years ago that the Family and Medical Leave Act created by Senator Christopher Dodd became law. It allows workers to take unpaid time off to deal with a family illness. Later today, the senator will update the law by giving workers 6 weeks off with paid leave. Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
The current system leaves low-income workers out in the cold, says Deborah Ness, president of the National Partnership for Women and Families.
Right now, the folks who need the leave the most are often unable to take it because it's unpaid leave and they can't afford to go without a paycheck.
California is the only state where employees can take time off for medical emergencies and get a paycheck. Workers can collect a little more than half a normal week's pay, up to $840. Ness says the California model costs the employer nothing out of pocket.
The California program is entirely employee funded. It averages out to be about $1.56 per employee per month.
Senator Dodd's plan to give all workers paid leave is being unveiled today. It would share the costs between the federal government, the employer, and the employee. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
One company that could probably afford paid leave for its employees is Starbucks. The company's fourth quarter earnings were up 18%. Starbucks shares rose 1.1%. The company said it opened almost 730 stores in the last 3 months of 2006. That's about 8 stores a day. Sounds like someone's out to take over the world, one grande at a time.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, working with Habitat for Humanity to build over 350 homes this year with families in need. On the web at thriventbuilds.com.
Just 3 days until Super Bowl XLI, or if you're not into Roman numerals, Super Bowl 41. There are a lot of numbers, economic numbers, attached to this football game, which pits the Indianapolis Colts against the Chicago Bears in Miami. Joining us to discuss some of those numbers is David Carter, Executive Director of the USC Sports Business Institute. Welcome.
Good morning.
Ad revenue, ticket revenue, viewership, all the people watching all those ads that everyone's going to be talking about, which number tells us the most about the popularity of the Super Bowl?
I think it's the forecasted 140 million viewers, because out of that now come these ad rates that we're seeing that are $2.5 million for a single Super Bowl spot. I think that is one of the standard bearers throughout sports that people really take a look at, how many people are tuning in. And it's not just the amount of people tuning in, it's the breadth of that audience. For example, you've got a company like Revlon, who now is going to be purchasing and airing its first ever Super Bowl ad regarding a new product they have coming out, and they're using Sheryl Crow to help communicate that. You wouldn't necessarily think that would be perfect for a traditional sports matchup on television. But again, broad audience is 140 million strong, and out of that comes this unbelievable event that you really do have to tune in for on Sunday afternoon.
There's been some debate over the value of playing host to the Super Bowl. What's that about?
Well, the debate comes from dueling economists who have been brought in to either support or refute the economic impact of the big game. And not surprisingly, the estimates of economic impact are all over the board, but really at the core, it gets to how much of the spending that's taking place down there is merely a redirecting of spending, and how much of it is new incremental spending that's coming into Miami. And so these economists get out there and debate the numbers, and you see ranges from maybe $150 to $350 or $400 million in economic impact for Miami and the surrounding communities.
What's the value of the game beyond that area?
Well, I think it's immense. I mean, it starts for me with the gambling industry and gaming, whether that's the legal or illegal gambling
right.
that's taking place domestically or offshore, or even the office pools. I mean, again, I think we've talked about this during March Madness. You have to be almost a social outcast to not be part of an office pool.
I must be one week. Of those, because I'm not part of a pool.
Me neither. We'll have to put one together before I leave this morning. I think that's a big part of it, because in fact, the NFL is the one sport where gambling really is integral to driving fan interest, and I think the league and the advertisers and those that broadcast the games really understand that. But it's even more than that. You know, we've also been watching the evolution of the secondary ticketing market. So you've got some ticketers that are making a lot of money off these tickets, the face value of which is either $600 or $700. Hospitality firms, travel firms are doing rather well. And, you know, out this way in California, you could probably argue that you've got the avocado growers and the guacamole producers that are having a great week. And, heck, I mean, who knows? Maybe even crime will be down for a few hours on Sunday afternoon. So I think a lot of people end up benefiting and having a great time because of this game.
David Carter is the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. If you're on the go, take us with you. We're podcasting. You can find out more by visiting our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.